Hello and welcome to episode 368 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva, and we are coming off of a wild, interesting, I think unique NFL draft that featured a ton of trades, some massive quarterback slides, which you don't normally see, and also some really interesting veteran trades. Evan, we are recording this Monday afternoon. You've had some time to digest the draft. How was your draft? How's it going?
Yeah, I think it was an awesome draft, you know, beginning with a very profitable day one. I think that the strength of the draft was on day two. You know, you saw a team like the Vikings trade down out of pick number 34 and add two assets in the 50s. I loved it when teams were making moves like that. The draft grades are up on the site. For every team, I try to do extensive analysis, less focusing on player scouting reports and more on the team's processes. How did they build their draft? What veteran players? A lot of draft grades will not include veteran players that were acquired with the draft capital utilized. And I think that those miss the mark completely because, you know, how are you going to grade the Raiders draft without including Davante Adams as a part of it?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's how I build my draft grades. But yeah, those are in the books. And we also did a 2-round dynasty rookie draft with me, Anthony Amico, and Michael Leone, dynasty super flex, tight end premium scoring. I think that people will get a kick out of that one. Kenneth Walker, drafted by the Seahawks, is going to be a very polarizing player. In dynasty circles and potentially in redraft as well.
Yeah. Two things there. First, that draft that Evan's referring to, it's on YouTube and it's on Establish the Edge, which is where Leone goes a little bit deeper into some of the extreme virginity of fantasy football. You check that out there. The second thing I would say, Evan, is I know you retweeted this today. I mean, what kind of idiot thinks that you should wait 2, 3, 4 years to do draft grades? If I wait 2, 3, 4 years, I could tell you a lot of things about what happened last week. Give me 2, 3, 4 years. I'll tell you how the stock market's going to do over the next year. I mean, it's absolutely asinine to think that no one should do draft grades because it's too soon. Yeah, no shit, it's too soon. If we wait, everybody don't know. I mean, I just don't understand that. So I had to get that off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it, you know.
Yeah.
Do the people want the players' careers to be over and then we can just write career recaps? I mean,
we're in the
but I do agree with that sentiment to the extent that I don't really care what some guy on SI.com thinks. You know, I don't really care how good he thinks a player is going to be. You know, you can miss me with that. Maybe he'll get it right. Maybe he won't. But what we can talk about is the team's processes and, you know, what was the theme behind each team's draft?
The drafting is a strategy. Pick the right player is not a strategy, right? So what was their draft strategy? What holes did they try to fill? And we're going to talk about all that today for sure. Today, we're going to go team by team through the AFC, talking reactions and fantasy fallout. We'll be back next episode with the NFC. Before we get into it, I'm sure many of you did well on the NFL draft props. Hopefully you got the 40-1 on the 1-2-3 trifecta. Hopefully you got the 16-1. On Sauce Gardner going fourth, the bad news is that the NFL draft is over. The good news is that the NBA draft is indeed coming. You do need money on all books for this stuff, despite what Silva says. And the thing is that you get bonuses on all these books just for signing up on top of getting the best price. And you often get big bonuses. So to see the bonuses for your state, go to establishrun.com/offers. Again, establishrun.com/offers to see the best deals by state. All right, Evan. Let's get into it. I mean, as always, it seems everybody loves the Ravens draft. I can't remember a time when I was doing this. People were like, oh, Ravens had a crappy draft. I will say, by trading Marquise Brown, they left themselves very thin at pass catch. I mean, very, very thin. And we can talk about that. But they went Kyle Hamilton, 14th overall, trade away Marquise Brown, used that pick to get Tyler Linderbaum, David Ajabo, Travis Jones. I mean, their first four picks all look really strong, but they're not going to be any like sexy type names outside of maybe Kyle Hamilton. What did you think of the Ravens draft?
Yeah, I mean, they do well in the draft period. First of all, they build a ton of draft capital because they dominate the compensatory pick process every single year. They made 6 fourth-round picks here.
Yeah.
6 fourth-round picks. That is freaking unbelievable. And they also cobbled together so much draft capital by winning little trades like trading Ben Bredesen, a backup offensive lineman, to the Giants and picking up an extra 6th-rounder. You know, trading Greg Mance, another backup offensive line, to the Dolphins and picking up an extra six rounder. Kyle Hamilton is a day one starting safety, stud safety opposite Marcus Williams. They should have one of the best safety duos in the league. They still have Chuck Clark there too, who's been wearing the green dot in Baltimore. Tyler Lindebaum, day one starting center. They needed help at that position on the interior line. David Ajabo would have been a first round pick if he had not torn his Achilles. They're probably going to have to wait a year on him, but you know, excellent value, all things considered. Travis Jones, who they took in the third round, was expected to be in the mix to be the 33rd overall pick to begin day two. And then you go down the list. I mean, one of the reasons that the Ravens always get good draft grades and they do draft well is because they tend to draft a lot of recognizable names from bigger schools. And again, they have a ton of capital. So, I mean, like, I gave them a B plus this year. That was probably, I only gave out two A's, but I gave them a B plus. And I mean, they consistently get B's and A minuses. And I think that they deserve it every year.
Do you think that the tone of this draft, in other words, trade away Marquise Brown, go Kyle Hamilton, Lindebaum, all these, you know, linemen and defenders, do you think this speaks to, hey, we want to run the ball even more? And I know they were not that run heavy last year. Like, right, even in neutral situations, they were throwing the ball. Do you think they're going back now, given these moves that they made, to being extremely run heavy?
I think that could happen. Yeah. I think that they tried to open it up a little bit last year, and just too much inconsistency out of Lamar. You know, he wound up getting banged up, and yeah, you know, I think that they're going to go back to running the football as the foundation of their offense again this year. And they're going to try to play like elite defense. And that's probably their best formula to win. They do still have options on the free agent market. Odell Beckham is still out there. Julio Jones is still out there. You know, they could try to make a move for one of these disgruntled receivers. Eric DaCosta, their GM, said that he was very open to drafting a wide receiver. It's just the talent level of the receivers fell off like after pick 18.
Yeah.
So it's just the value didn't make it to them. And so they got stronger at other positions and weaker at wide receiver.
I mean, obviously, one of the biggest winners of the weekend was Mark Andrews from a fantasy perspective. Obviously, I actually think that one of the biggest winners, though, was J.K. Dobbins. I mean, people forget J.K. Dobbins was an elite, elite rusher of the football. Obviously, had the injury, but now he comes back to a spot where, I mean, God, they're going to run the ball so much. And hopefully he's healthy and everything. And I think J.K. Dobbins was a winner of this draft also from a fantasy perspective. Let's go to the Bills. This James Cook pick, and yeah, they used their first-round pick on a cornerback, but the second round, they go James Cook. And, like, this was so obvious to me that they wanted this role filled. They signed J.D. McKissic. They were real tilted when J.D. McKissic deal didn't go through. Now they get James Cook in there, whose calling card looks to me like it is of a pass catcher. I mean, James Cook is set up really well here, 63rd. Overall, what did you think of the Bills draft as a whole?
Yeah, Kair Elam filled the biggest need on their roster. This is why it really didn't make any sense for them to take Breece Hall in the first round like a lot of people wanted him to do, because they had a glaring hole at cornerback. They lost Levi Wallace to Pittsburgh, and Tre'Davious White is coming off a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. Like, they needed DB help. They wound up taking another corner in Christian Benford out of Villanova on day three. Yeah, I'm with you on James Cook. He was the receiving back at Georgia. Dalvin Cook's younger brother. I think that he perfectly aligns with what they do offensively. His fantasy projection is going to be debated because he's probably not going to be a true full-time back. And he's still playing in the backfield with Josh Allen, you know, and Josh Allen vultures a lot of rushing stuff, a lot of stuff around the goal line. So we'll be talking a lot about James Cook throughout the pre-fantasy season phase. They wound up getting the punt god. And Khalil Shakir out of Boise State caught over 200 balls there, ran 4.43 at the combine. You know, he's a guy that Nate Tice, who does great work for The Athletic, he played college football at Wisconsin with Russell Wilson and J.J. Watt. He's talked up as a potential sleeper, potential slot receiver in Buffalo, where they obviously lost Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
So that's a name to keep in mind.
Love it. Yeah, I he's definitely on my radar for sure. And yeah, I'll be higher than most people on James Cook because my biggest skill I look for in running backs is being able to catch football and be on a good team. Bills are a good team. There's games where the Bills throw the ball 80% of the time, and James Cook is a good pass catcher. I mean, it's just no-brainer to be high on James Cook, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't know a lot about this Khalil Shakir guy, but anyone with a path to playing a lot of snaps with Josh Allen, which I think Shakir has, is at least worth being on.
Yep.
Let's go to the Bengals. The AFC champions Bengals take Daxton Hill, the Michigan defensive back, at 31st overall. Come back with another DB, Nebraska's Cam Taylor-Britt. Second overall, did not take any skill players in this draft. What do you think about what the Bengals did?
Yeah, not a real exciting draft. You know, they obviously prioritized the pass defense because they had six picks and used five of them on either a DB or an upfront defensive lineman. So they were clearly prioritizing that in the draft. I was a little disappointed. And look, they did help their offensive line quite a bit in free agency. Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins, Ted Karras. But I was hoping that they might add a little bit more offensive line talent. They did take Cordell Volson out of North Dakota State in the fourth round. But yeah, I mean, not a draft to get too worked up about. Daxton Hill primarily covered the slot in his final season at Michigan. I think that's where he's going to play in Cincinnati.
Okay, let's go to the Cleveland Browns. Did not have a first round pick. Did not make a second round pick selection. I guess you could call Amari Cooper part of this draft class.
You definitely call Amari Cooper part of this draft class. And that acquisition is looking real smart right now, by the way. His contract, when compared to these other receivers' contract, is now like a steal of a deal.
Yeah.
And they got him for a fifth and a sixth round pick.
And they took David Bell,
who we're going to be talking about. I mean, I think that he could be the plug and play replacement for Jarvis Landry. Now, he's the 99th overall pick in the draft. That's not a ton of capital, you know, so I think we should try to resist getting too high on him. But he checks the box of being a hyper productive college player who didn't necessarily test real well. I think he ran in like the high four sixes. But, you know, as we know, the most predictive element of college to pro transition at the wide receiver position is not athleticism. It is production.
I mean, David Bell has to beat out guys like Anthony Schwartz and Donovan Peoples-Jones to get on the field. I don't think that's that crazy to think that. Obviously, no. Deshaun Watson is part of this draft class. Also, we've talked extensively about that already. So, yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson, Amari Cooper, and then you get into the draft class. I think it's pretty solid for the Browns, who made a lot of picks. 3 third-round picks and 2 fourth-round picks did the Browns make. Certainly added some depth there.
One thing I wanted to note is that they took Cincinnati's Jerome Ford in the 5th round. I think they're going to move on from Kareem Hunt, but they could also move on from Dearness Johnson, pull back his restricted tender. So,
how do you think it would go down with Kareem Hunt? A cut or a trade, or how do you think they move on?
Yeah, I mean, it might be a cut. I'm sure that they would prefer for it to be a trade, but I think that they're going to make a move in the backfield.
Okay. Broncos. Obviously, Russell Wilson is part of this class. You know, Broncos gave up the 9th pick. And I believe it was the 40th pick or something like that to get Russell Wilson. They go edge in round 2. They take Albert O's hopeful. Albert, I'm high. I like Albert O's. So, this Greg Dulcich pick, you know, seemed a bit unnecessary to me. But what did you think of the Broncos as a whole and noting that they have Russell Wilson also?
Yeah, I still think that Albert O is going to get the first crack at it. Okay. But, hey, you know, they did. I mean, third round pick is significant. I think he was the third tight end off the board in this draft.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not nothing. But yeah, I mean, you know, after giving up the numbers 9 and 40 picks in this draft for Russell Wilson plus future draft capital, you know, the theme of this draft was Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Russ. Yep. Texans. So Texans, you know, the rumors were right. I mean, the rumors had the Texans on Derek Stingley late in the process, and the rumors turned out to be right, and that's how we got that 41 exact there with Stingley going 3rd. They also had the 15th overall pick, in which they took Kenyon Green. Broke my heart by taking John Michie, I thought, a little bit too early, but maybe should have seen that coming. And they took Damian Pierce in the fourth round. So Texans added a lot of talent. What do you think of what they did?
Well, I didn't like it. And they're getting a lot of positive pub for this draft. And I disagree with it. You know, look, I know that Derek Stingley is extremely talented, but he hasn't played good football since 2019. That was before the pandemic. You know, like I can't even remember anything that happened before the pandemic. But we do remember that Derek Stingley was great as a freshman at LSU, maybe the best corner in the country. But, man, that's a lot to spend on a guy who hasn't played the number three overall pick that hasn't played good football since 2019. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Green, a guard, you know, one position guard only at number 15 overall. That was awfully aggressive. John Metchie is a 187-pound possession receiver without an athletic profile, coming off a torn ACL, and the Texans traded up for him. They gave up two picks to go get him. And then they traded up again for Christian Harris, an off-ball linebacker. They gave up a fifth-round pick to climb just five slots in round three for Christian Walker.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the kind of process that I like, you know, to look for when I'm trying to, like, give out the draft grades and give my opinion on the process. And, you know, especially for a team that was as talent short as the Texans, like, they need players. Yeah. They did come out of this with, what, like, nine players?
Yeah.
But I think that they shouldn't have traded up so many times. I did bet Damian Pierce, who they drafted in the fourth round out of Florida, to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 50-1. He was a committee back at Florida, but he showed tackle-breaking ability when he was in there, and he caught a ton of passes for a guy that was a committee back. And I think that – and he's 224 pounds. And I think that this depth chart is going to be easy for him to climb, and he might end up being an every-down back, like, for the duration of the season.
I mean, you're talking about Marlon Mack, who's had his injury woes.
Right.
And then you're also talking about Rex Burkhead, who I think, you know, we both like, who is, I think, on the tail end of his career. And so certainly Damian Pierce has a chance. The reason that he's 50-1 is because if the Texans win like four games, it's going to be really hard to win Rookie of the Year on a team that wins four games. But I agree that Damian Pierce certainly has a path to getting 200 plus carries here. Let's go to Colts. I guess you're counting Matt Ryan as part of this draft class. They did go for a lot of skill players. You count Matt Ryan, Alec Pierce, Jelani Wood. What did you think of what the Colts did?
I thought this was a pretty good one. You know, they gave up number 82 overall, their third round pick for Matt Ryan. They did not have their first round pick due to the Carson Wentz deal. They did recapture some compensation by moving him to Washington and cutting the cord quickly. Like they identified, you know, they Carson Wentz is a problem. Like it's incredible that Frank Reich and Howie Roseman, Frank Reich, like, almost staked his reputation on Carson Wentz. Howie Roseman traded up a ton to go get him, you know, atop that, that draft with Jared Goff. And both of those guys gave up on him. That's not a good sign for Carson Wentz. I think that Matt Ryan is going to be fine in Indianapolis. And so I think that that was a worthwhile addition. Alec Pierce is real interesting. I mean, this is a big physical dude. He made a ton of plays with Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati. And at number 53, that's some pretty good draft capital. I think we'll see him starting right away. And this was a big need for Indianapolis. I think we'll see him starting right away opposite Michael Pittman. Jelani Woods, just Mo Ali Cox is never going to happen, is he? This is never going to happen.
I was going to say two things. First, on the Jelani Woods thing, Jelani Woods, by the way, is like lineman size. He's 6'7", 260, and he ran a 4.61. I mean, dude, PSM between Marley Cox and Jelani Woods is something going on in that room. The second thing that I would say is I agree with you that I think that Alec Pierce has a chance to start right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paris Campbell cannot stay on the field. Ashton Doolin, Desmond Patton, guys like that. I mean, it's going to be Pittman and Pierce, I think, is their most likely two wide receiver set. And I do think we'll see a lot of two wide receiver sets out of the Colts.
Yeah, and you know, they took another tight end in the sixth round of Youngstown State. Chris Ballard is always hitting it hard in with the small schools. Andrew Ogletree.
Yep.
It's almost, I think that Kylan Granson, who they drafted in the fourth round last year, and there was some hype that they liked him, he might already be dust.
Yeah, they did lose Jack Doyle to retirement, but yeah, for sure. Okay. Jaguars. So, you know, I obviously don't follow the process that closely. I was surprised, I guess, that they decided to go Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson. And maybe it's this Trent Baalke, you know, arm length or hates Jim Harbaugh or whatever it is. I was surprised. I have no real opinion on what Trayvon Walker is going to end up being. But anyways, they go Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson at number one overall. Devin Lloyd at number 27. Don't really take any skill players until the fifth round where they get Snoop Connor, the running back. What do you think of the Jaguars?
I thought it was a disaster, just like an absolute disaster. Trayvon Walker, look, we won money betting on him to be the number one overall pick relatively early, so I'll take that. But to draft a guy who played 3 years in college and had 9 sacks, and he's supposed to be an edge rusher, and I know he's got talent and he's got potential, but, man, I would absolutely have to see more production from a guy to make him the number one overall pick in the draft. And then they traded up for Devin Lloyd. And I like Devin Lloyd as a player, but they gave up 2 picks to move up 6 spots to draft an off-ball linebacker in the first round. I mean, you know, I guess they're going to hope that Luke Fortner out of Kentucky replaces Brandon Linder eventually at center. Brandon Linder retired, their longtime center. You know, then another off-ball linebacker, then a running back, like, you know, then some dude from Ouachita Baptist. I mean, I gave him a D-, and I felt like maybe I was being generous.
They're injecting more talent this year. I mean, they're getting ETN back. They got Christian Kirk. You know, they added talent, but it's not front-end talent. That's every time we talk about the Jaguars, it's like they've added players. They've added NFL players, but as Evan said, they're not, like, actually star NFL players or difference-making NFL players. But they'll be better, but still not, definitely not good. I mean, they're still one of the worst teams. Let's go to Chiefs. So everybody was sure the Chiefs were going to take a wide receiver in round one. We talked about it on Friday a little bit, and, you know, Sky Moore falls in their lap. I thought Sky Moore had the profile of someone who could be a round one pick. For the Chiefs to get him at 54th overall seems like an absolute steal to me on the Chiefs. What do you think of what they did, taking two defenders in round one and then going Sky Moore at 54th overall?
I thought they had an awesome draft. Kansas City. You know, the receivers just went so fast in the first round that they were unable to climb high enough. They did wind up climbing a little bit for Trent McDuffie. And cornerback was arguably an even bigger need for Kansas City than was wide receiver. And then another massive need was edge, and they filled that with George Karlaftis, one of the most productive per play pass rushers in college football coming out of Purdue. Yeah, and then, I mean, they had to be doing high fives in the draft room with Sky Moore because they banged out 3 huge needs, with each of their top 3 picks, and then they still had another second, and they used it on Brian Cook, a big hitter out of Cincinnati. And then I liked a bunch of their late stuff too. I mean, I think they knocked it out of the park.
So Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore. I mean, that's a reasonable top 4. I don't think it's like superstar level, but they're, you know, I think they have 4 reasonable players to play a wide receiver now.
And I don't think it's crazy to think that, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a role player and Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't really been good in a while. I don't think it's crazy to think that Sky Moore can be like a big time fantasy asset really quickly, if not, you know, lead them in catches or something. I mean, Travis Kelce is going to lead the team in catches.
Yeah.
But I lead the wide receiver core in catches.
Yeah. And we're going to do another podcast later this week / next week about rookie landing spots. And we'll get into it more on Sky Moore then. Let's go to the Raiders. So obviously Davante Adams was part of this draft class. They don't make a pick until 90th overall. Did use a 4th round pick on running back Zamir White. What do you think out of the Raiders?
Yeah, right before the draft, they declined Josh Jacobs' 5th-year option. I mean, this was such a disaster. Remember the year that they had 3 first-round picks? Jonathan Abram, Cleveland Farrell, and Josh Jacobs, they declined all of their 5th-round, or all of their 5th-year options, and it was predictable. I mean, it was an obvious reach when they went for Cleveland Farrell. He just was not a top 5, you know, draft talent. He was a good player in college. You know, and I mean, he's still going to have a career in the NFL, but I mean, he never projected to be good enough to be taken with the number four overall pick. Jonathan Abram was a penalty machine box safety who can't cover. He's been an absolute disaster. And then Josh Jacobs, who didn't even start over Damian Harris at Alabama, by the way. I think he's a talented dude, but you know, he had never shown workhorse capability. And then when he got to the pros, like, they wouldn't even play him in passing situations. It was a foreseeable disaster.
Yeah.
But I think that the end game run out was just brutal for the Raiders. And you know, these are the pieces that Dave Ziegler, the new GM, is trying to pick up. Dylan Parham, a lot of offensive line gurus really like him as a potential steal as the 90th overall pick out of Memphis. But yeah, as for Josh Jacobs, they drafted two running backs, Amir White and Britton Brown out of UCLA. I mean, the writing's starting to come on the wall here for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, for sure. And as Evan said, they've already been using other backs in the pass game, although I do not think Zamir White is that guy for them in the pass game. Let's go to Chargers. I mean, Chargers are having a hell of an offseason, man. I mean, you gave them a B+ in your grades, I believe. And also, you know, in free agency, I mean, I thought they cleaned up in free agency to the Chargers. These are the things you can do when you have an excellent rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. What did you think of the Chargers draft here?
Yep, loved it. You know, Zion Johnson, that was a little early at number 17 overall for him, but I think it's fine. And now they're going to pair him. They're going to start him right away at right guard, Matt Filer at left guard, Corey Linsley at center, and Rashawn Slater at left tackle. Like, their offensive line should be good, and it got a lot younger. You know, they're not messing around with Brian Bulaga anymore. Khalil Mack was part of this trade. Mm-hmm. And they stole him from the Bears. I mean, all they had to give up was the number 48 selection this year and a six rounder next year. So, and putting him opposite Joey Bosa, this team, like, I know we talk about, you know, how we like the Chargers every year. I mean, they're a popular team to like.
Yeah.
I think it's do or die time right now because they are freaking loaded on both sides of the ball. I also like the pick of Isaiah Spiller, who fell in the draft because he ran a poor 40 time, but unquestionably he was one of the best running backs in college football over the past 3 years, and he's a lot better than these jamokes that they've been trotting out there behind Austin Eckler over the past 3 years.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that Isaiah Spiller could step right in ahead of Josh Kelly, ahead of Larry Roundtree, and that role, like, it's not a huge role, but it's kind of valuable. I mean, you could score some touchdowns in that role behind Austin Eckler. So certainly on my radar is Isaiah Spiller. Dolphins obviously did not have a lot of picks. I believe they obviously didn't Tyreek Hill. They gave a bunch of picks, but also I think they gave a picks to get Jalen Waddle last year too. So they only make four picks here: linebacker, wide receiver, and then 2 7th round picks. What do you think out of the Dolphins kind of small draft?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Tyreek Hill is the big part of this. But as I mentioned before, you know, they gave up Greg Mance for Greg Mance. They gave up a pick last year to go up and draft Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame. He's a starter on their offensive line, so that paid off. They gave up another pick for Greg Little, who stinks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about here. Channing Tindall, I think that they view him as like a nickel linebacker. Eric Izukanma, heard some good things about him. He'll be someone that we should monitor in training camp and that, but you know, he's a long way from any kind of relevance. I mean, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are going to dominate the targets in Miami.
Eric Izukanma sounds like a dude who I no idea who he is, but play him in preseason DFS. I mean, that just sounds like the perfect name for preseason DFS.
Yes.
Patriots, you know, who am I to say that the Patriots reached? It seems like that's what everybody's saying, though. How could they take Cole Strange 29th overall? I mean, I don't know, man. It seems like everybody else thought he was going to go in the second round or the third round. He goes in the first round. What did you think of the Patriots?
Well, I think it's important to keep, and I gave him a D- here, so I'm not supporting what they did, but I want to give a little bit of context, because the consensus among teams is that there were only 16 players in this draft, 16 or to 20, that had actual first round grades. And so they traded out of number 21. You know, maybe all their first round graded players were gone. They moved down to 29. They picked up an extra pick. They also added a 2023 third rounder, and they took Cole Strange, who, I mean, obviously they didn't have a first round grade on him, but they might have had a second round grade on him. They took him toward the end of the first round in a draft where there were only 16 to 20 first round grades. He fills a need, you know? So, I mean, you can understand how something like this would happen. It's not, I mean, the answer is always somewhere in the middle. You know, it's not that crazy, but I mean, I did give them a poor draft grade. Yeah. Ultimately, Tyquan Thornton runs sub 4.3. This guy could be, I mean, they need explosive plays in the passing game, and Mac Jones can put it on dudes. I mean, he's one of the most accurate passers in the NFL. I think Tyquan Thornton, a lot of like analytics guys didn't like him, but he brings big play ability that they obviously needed. Then they drafted two running backs. One guy I liked, Pierre Strong, mm-hmm. had a great workout, was really good at South Dakota State. And they also took Kevin Harris out of South Carolina. It's just, you know, it's tough to get behind, you know, when you already have Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson and James White on the roster.
So I don't know a ton about Tyquan Thornton. What I do know is that this team is so slow. So if you want to tell me, hey, this guy, you know, he may not be – maybe he shouldn't have gone that high, Tyquan Thornton, but he's going to give you an element of speed. I can get on board with that. To me, Pierre Strong like was the best running back sleeper in the class. 5'11", 207, ran a 4.37, very productive in college at South Dakota State. I mean, you know, I think Pierre Strong could end up being very relevant here. I understand there's a huge logjam here, but we'll see what happens with Damian Harris, Ramondre, James White for sure.
Yeah, and then they used a fourth-round pick on a quarterback too.
Yeah.
Who is mostly drawn comparisons to Chase Daniel. I know you need a backup in the NFL, and Jarrett Stidham is obviously not the dude. And look, Bill Belichick is, I put this in my draft grades, Bill Belichick has forgotten more football knowledge than I'll ever have. But a lot of this stuff just didn't make sense to me.
I think they take quarterbacks like, hey, either it works out and he's a great backup, or maybe we get enough hype around him that we can trade him like we did with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like having good quarterbacks in your roster is never a bad thing. So I don't hate that one, but yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
Although Bailey Zapp isn't good. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. Jets, man, what a haul for the Jets in the first round. I mean, you could make a case that Sauce Gardner should have been the first cornerback off the board ahead of Derek Stingley. He goes fourth. Garrett Wilson, a lot of people had as the best wide receiver in the class. They get him at 10th. And then Jermaine Johnson. I actually had bets on Jermaine Johnson to go second overall. Yeah. Jermaine Johnson, they get at 26th overall. I mean, that's a really good haul for the first round. What do you think of the Jets draft?
Yeah, I mean, and it made a lot of sense to me. This entire draft made a lot of sense. Well, I think with the exception of Jeremy Ruckert, and look, a lot of people like Jeremy Ruckert coming out of Ohio State. It's just, why do you draft him after you invest multi-year contracts, sizable multi-year contracts in C.J. Uzoma and Tyler Conklin? They just must have had him like as like a second-round grade or something on him to take him in the third round. They were just like, we can't pass on this value. But, yeah, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, they're all going to be starting right away for the Jets. And then they traded up for Breece Hall. And he's going to be starting right away. I mean, they got four day one starters. You know, that's going to help you anytime that you can pull that off. And then Max Mitchell, potential starter at right tackle coming out of Louisiana, they got him in the fourth round. They had no picks after the fourth round. So it was kind of short and sweet, but I think they added a lot of talent. Sauce Gardner's like profiles very similar to Antonio Cromartie. Garrett Wilson has drawn comparison to Stephon Diggs, and him, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis. I mean, that's a pretty good – they're going to know about Zach Wilson after this year. They are going to know about him.
I mean, that's my whole thing. You can have all the talent you want. If Zach Wilson plays as badly as he played last year, they're still going to be in trouble. But, man, they added a lot of talent. It's hard not to like what the Jets did. Steelers, I thought they were taking Malik Willis, man. They end up going Kenny Pickett. We talked about that a little bit on Friday. Then they come back with Chase Claypool on the mic. Chase Claypool, if you guys are watching the draft on, I guess that was Friday, gets up there and announces that they're taking George Pickens, which, you know, maybe a little bit awkward. But anyways.
The guy he's going to get benched for.
I saw you tweet that, or somebody tweeted that. Yeah. Anyways, what do you think of what the Steelers did?
It was okay. I think that I don't know. It's going to come down to Kenny Pickett. You know, does he have the upside that people think he does not have? You know, is he going to max out as Andy Dalton? Could it be Kirk Cousins? I mean, if he's Kirk Cousins, I think that he's a win. Mm-hmm. You know, can he beat out Mitchell Trubisky? George Pickens was a talent with, you know, questions off the field, and that's why he fell to number 52, a first-round talent that fell pretty deep into the second round. DeMarvin Leal, I think, you know, he'll probably play early on their defensive line. Calvin Austin is kind of an interesting wide receiver prospect with a lot of versatility out of Memphis. You know, and where does he fit in? It's also true that Deontay Johnson's contract is up after the year, and Chase Claypool only has 2 years left. They lost their fifth and sixth round picks in previous trades that were failed for Avery Williamson and Joe Schobert. That hurt them a little bit in terms of their draft grade. I don't know. It's going to depend on Kenny Pickett.
If Kenny Pickett doesn't beat out Mitchell Trubisky, you know, relatively soon, like in year one, sometimes it's mm-hmm. not a good sign. I mean, obviously, like the Steelers, like beat writers who were like the most like, you know, old school established guys, they're like, oh, what are you talking about? Of course, Mitchell Trubisky is going to start all year, you know, but that's not, you don't spend the 20th overall pick on Kenny Pickett to have him watch Mitchell Trubisky all year. So
some of those same beat writers were saying early in the offseason that Mason Rudolph was going to be their starter.
Yeah.
In 2022, just no ability to like think critically. And now Mason Rudolph's like, he's going to get cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one here is the Tennessee Titans. So we talked about the AJ Brown deal on Friday. They try to replace AJ Brown with Treylon Burks. Then they go Roger McCreary in round two. They made a lot of picks and they added Malik Willis. We've talked extensively about Ryan Tannehill's contract situation. They can get away from Ryan Tannehill and save a bunch of money if they cut him. After this year, we'll see what happens with Malik Willis. I mean, I like taking a shot on Malik Willis at 86th overall.
Me too.
It's just like, there's no downside. Like, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's 86th overall. If it works out, my God, you've hit the stone nuts. So mm-hmm. I like what the Titans did. What do you think of their draft? I don't like trading away AJ Brown, but besides that.
I know. That's the thing. I mean, it's really tough. I believe, and especially when it's a homegrown talent, you drafted him, you stole him in the second round. Like, you got to figure out a way to keep that guy, you know?
And he's 24 years old. A lot of these veterans, I mean, if he was like 27, 28, I would be all for it. 24 years old is so early.
Yeah. And then Treylon Burks, look, he's a very polarizing player. He's going to get a ton of opportunity opposite Robert Woods. Robert Woods, by the way, was an excellent acquisition, I think, by the Titans before the draft. But Treylon Burks, I don't know. We had Mike Renner on. He didn't like him. You know, Daniel Jeremiah compares him to AJ Brown, you know, so the opinions on Treylon Burks are all over the place. Roger McCreary, they needed more talent in their secondary. I think Roger McCreary will have a chance to start right away. I'm with you on Malik Willis. You have got to take that shot. Mm-hmm. In the third round, I think it's a good situation for him. You know, I think he's going to come in. He's going to get that year behind Ryan Tannehill. If Ryan Tannehill goes down, like, they will have to change their offense to feature his running ability. I think it's a fun landing spot for him in terms of a potential future fantasy value. He's going to go early in these super flex rookie drafts. And I think that's deserved.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, I think Malik with Derrick Henry can't be a bad thing for Derrick Henry. I mean, we've seen it so many times where running backs get bigger lanes when their quarterback is a rushing threat. All right, that is the AFC team-by-team draft recap. Stay tuned for next episode where we're going team-by-team through the NFC. And then next week, we'll be back to talk landing spots, year one outlooks, and some dynasty stuff on all these rookies. Four. Evan. Four. Producer Luke, I'm Adam. Good luck, everybody.